With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
I want to start in Malachi tonight. In praise and worship, I kind of got a little bit, not a different direction, but a different way to present it. Which, you know, when God does that, it's always good. So let's go to Malachi chapter 3, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Yeah. All right, does anybody know what we're studying, what the subject is? Righteousness. I really feel that I have a mandate for us, for those that are tuning in, you know, weekly on the radio program or on the internet and the messages that will go out as we duplicate them, to focus in on righteousness. And when we hear that particular subject is going to be taught so many times, we immediately think that it has to do with being pious or something we can attain. We all think that. When we say, you know, he acts like he's righteous, we have a negative connotation to that, at least those of us who were raised in a churchy church. Now, in Malachi, verse 16, says, "Then those who feared the Lord and talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." Verse 17. "On that day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Everybody say distinction.
Distinction.
You know, I think in the modern church that we have thrown out the idea that God wants to make a distinction between you and the rest of the world. We've thrown out the idea that God wants to be our provider, our protector, that He wants more than just to take care of your needs, but for you to be content and generous and happy. And when we bring in the word rich into the congregation, religious spirits jump up. But, you know, we're gonna show you tonight that God does not change. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God. He does not change. He's not a man that he should lie or change his ways. He doesn't change like the shifting shadows, the Word of God says. The Lord says, if I said it, I'm going to do it. I'm watching over my word to be sure that I perform it. Amen. So let's begin tonight by going back to our text scripture for this series, which is Romans. And your assignment this week is to read the book of Romans again. You know, the scripture is not a dead document. When you grab a hold of the scripture by faith, and your spirit gets a hold of it, it becomes alive. It's able to separate between soul and spirit. And literally, revelation comes from the entrance of God's Word. I for probably 5 years, almost every single day, the Lord told me, read John chapter 14 through 17. It was like, you know, as soon as I got the Bible, he said, read John chapter 14 through 17. And I still read it more frequently than, now it's 10 through 17. You know, it's just I read it more frequently than any part of the Scripture, because there's revelation in there that I have not gotten yet. Amen? And God is wanting to bring that about. So when I say read the book of Romans again, that's to bring revelation to you. What's the worst thing that could happen? You get it memorized. It'll jerk the slack out of your head, you know. John chapter 17 says, "For in," or John chapter 1 verse 17, "For in the gospel A righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And the whole book of Romans is bringing the church into a place that they understand we're not righteous by obeying the law, because we can't fulfill the law. We're righteous if we follow the Holy Ghost, and we enter into righteousness by faith. Can you say amen? We enter into the righteousness by faith. And of course, our deeds, what we do, our conduct, our behavior, our way of thinking, our way of speaking, our way of acting, all conforms with our faith. And so we enter into righteousness by faith. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I hope you guys are writing these down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so in him we might become the righteousness of God. Say righteousness of God. In him we become the righteousness of God. When you bowed your knee, when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became the righteousness of God in Christ. And that is a concept that is very difficult for the religious to believe and grab a hold of. We tend to judge ourselves by our conduct and our behavior. And more importantly, we judge ourselves by our shortcomings or the perception that we'll never measure up. And if we can begin to judge ourselves according to righteousness that's given by faith in Jesus Christ, man, we could climb to some places in God. Your sonship would be revealed. The whole earth is groaning, the scripture says, longing for the sons of God to be revealed. How are the sons of God revealed? You don't walk around with a halo on your head. There's a manifestation, that there's a distinction between you and the rest of the world. Part of it is you don't, if you ever notice, somebody who's been in sin all their life, they look old, leathery and worn out. Am I right about it? I'm not looking at anybody on purpose, okay? I'm really not. But if you live a life of sin, you just age prematurely. If you live a life in Jesus Christ and you're in connection with God, you don't age like the rest of the world does. Come on. There is a difference, a distinction between you and the rest of the world. Now, you may age, yes. You may die and go on. You may be attacked with sickness and disease and not get the victory. But there's a distinction between you and the rest of the world. And it's not just in your head. It's not just that you're going around, you know, singing hi ho, it's off to work we go, and you have a song in your heart all the time. There literally needs to be in your life a distinct, and we're going to talk about that tonight. It's not just the way you age, the way you act, it's everything about you should be different because you're a child of God. Can you say amen? And I believe that the church is not walking in that distinction because we're ashamed to, afraid to, or been taught if we try to, we're not godly anymore. Isaiah chapter 53, would you turn there? So, did we say that? Did we read that scripture? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now turn to 1 Peter 2 first before we go there, because these scriptures are twins. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And by his wounds we have been healed. Now, if you have been healed, have you become the righteousness of God? Yes, it's past tense. How did you become the righteousness of God? By faith. Now, what Jesus did to cause you to become the righteousness of God, which you have to access by faith, has been done. It was done 2,000 years ago. He's not dying a death perpetually, over and over again for you and for me. So that is sequentially in time, 2,000 years ago, God became a man, dwelt among us, and he died on the cross. On the cross, he became sin with your sin and mine. Where? In his flesh, not in his spirit, not in his soul. There's a reason that it was in his flesh. That is, so that it could be separated from you eternally. Because in dying, you died. The sin nature that was in you died. It was literally separated from Christ. Now you're one with Christ. He was raised again from death. 1 Peter 3:18. He was raised again from the state of being dead. He died on the cross. And when He separated from His body, just like you will if you perish, if you die, then your soul and your spirit are going to separate. Your sin and my sin was where? In the place where Jesus was? In the rest? No, it was in the body of Jesus. And after 3 days, it was declared legally dead. No more authority, no more right. It can't rule or reign in you. It can't be an entrance point for Satan to get to you. But if he can keep you more conscious of a sin, if you've asked God to forgive you, he's taken your sin and done what? Thrown it as far as the east is from the west. He chooses to remember it no longer. It was annihilated in the flesh of Jesus. Think of it as being something tangible, like a piece of paper. Jesus didn't rip it up, he burnt it. It no longer exists. There's nothing that could be put back together again. The only place it exists is in the memory of the devil, the memory of your mother-in-law, and your memory. And the only way that you're going to access the righteousness that has no sin or the effect of sin in it is by faith. Can you say faith? Faith in what Jesus did. You know, sometimes it's just a whole lot easier if you could have a point of contact. If you could touch something. Put an envelope in the mail. You can't get it back. It's gone. And the point of contact is the cross. What happened to Israel when they looked up at the viper that was put on a brass pole? As they lifted their eyes above the circumstances, situations, and they viewed what was a type and a shadow of sin on the cross, they were healed. That's your point of contact. Don't look back to Abraham. Look to Jesus. Amen. On the cross, your sin died. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Praise the Lord. We're talking about righteousness. And tonight's message is entitled, The Harvest of Righteousness. Now, Isaiah chapter 53, I could camp on this. I could camp on this in Psalms 22 and Psalms 8. Praise the Lord. You see Jesus in these things. But let's go to verse 11. After he suffered, he will see the light of light and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. And he will bear their iniquities. Everybody say bear.
Bear.
If I were to bear your debt, would you have to pay it? If I were to bear the labor of whatever it is that you're trying to do, would you have to sweat? No. They call an ox a beast of burden. Why? Because they bear the burden and the labor. So if Jesus bore your sin, then see, you don't have to bear it. You don't have to carry it. He carried it for you. My righteous one will bear their iniquities. Say, my iniquities.
My iniquities.
Where are they? He bore them. He carried them to a place of forgetfulness. He carried them to a place of annihilation. He not only paid the price, which is justification, but he destroyed the very fabric that made your sin sin. It's like a piece of paper that's been burnt. It can't be put back together again. You can have a memory of that piece of paper, but that doesn't mean it's going to exist again. And the memory of what somebody wrote to me in third grade about my pumpkin head isn't going to affect my future. Nobody really said anything about my pumpkin head. I was just looking at Josh and I thought about it. Praise the Lord. That was a funny one. Go to 2 Corinthians, please. But the memory of a piece of paper isn't going to have any authority or power in my life if the piece of paper doesn't exist anymore. That's why they used to take the debt that somebody owed and they'd nail it up on the door of whoever they owed it to after it was paid, and they'd light the thing on fire. It was no longer in existence. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. going to go to verse 10. Now, this is the scripture for tonight's message. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. Guys, what is a harvest of righteousness? What's your harvest for being righteous? You know, you sow something and it grows into a plant. It produces fruit. When you take the fruit off the vine, that's your harvest. In other words, the righteousness in your life should produce something. And you have a harvest that is sitting out in the garden and the crows are getting to it because you don't know it really belongs to you. Or you know it's there, but you're too embarrassed to go out and get it. Or you think some religious person is going to tell you, that's not yours, that belongs to the pastor or the priest. Or come on. There should be a harvest of your righteousness. And listen, in context here, in sowing seed into the kingdom of God with the right heart, it increases the revelation of your righteousness, which increases your harvest. Now, that's not what we're talking about. That's not the focal point tonight. The focal point is there is a harvest to your righteousness that you should be bringing in basketfuls every single day. Do you struggle and strive and you know, go out there and encourage a tomato plant to grow? You put the seed in the ground, the plant comes up all by itself, and the Bible says unknown to man or how. Of course, George Washington Carver figured that one out with God's help, but don't know how, but it produces after its own kind. It's a harvest. It's not a wage. A wage is something you earn. A harvest is something that just is because it's the nature of the seed. And Jesus was the seed of righteousness. And when He died, when that seed was planted, He bore many sons unto righteousness. You were born of righteousness. You were born of the Spirit of God. You were made righteous. The old man has been put away. The new man is. He has come. And you've got to accept that fact whether you feel like it or not. If you want to grab a hold of the harvest of righteousness that rightfully belongs to the children of God, you've got to grab a hold of the fact and untwist that brain of yours and the way of thinking and say, hey, if God says it, then it must be so. Amen. I don't feel righteous. You'll never feel righteous. You can't feel righteousness. You can't feel faith, guys. You can discern righteousness, you can discern faith, but you can't feel it. Come on. If you could feel it, or if you have felt it, then you're right. You know, I'm righteous right after I have a bowl of Captain Crunch with an extra sugar load on top of it and a cup of coffee. That's when I would feel righteous, but about, you know, 15 minutes later, I'm going to feel pretty unrighteous then. Righteousness doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. It has to do with your faith. Your faith doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. Your faith doesn't have much to do with how you act, but your faith affects how you act. All right. Go to Psalms chapter 1. And we're just going to take a little tour through the scripture here. Remember, God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a God that He's going to change like the shifting shadows. He said, I am the Lord God, I change not. Is that correct? That's a good thing about God. You know how He's going to be in the morning. You may not know how your spouse is going to be in the morning, but you can put it in the bank how God's going to be in the morning. His mercies are going to be new every morning. He's never going to, you know, feel bad and shun you. He's going to be like the prodigal's father who ran to him when he saw him far off. God is never going to change. You change, but He doesn't. That's the whole concept about eternity and God being eternal. He does not change. Temporal means temporary. It will change. God doesn't. And so when we look in the scripture here, let's just back off of that for a minute. When God made Adam, Adam was made righteous. And what did he receive? The entire earth. For one man and one woman and their kids that were to come. When God found a man named Abraham, and he credited to him righteousness. What was the evidence in Abraham's life? Come on, somebody. What was the evidence to the kings? What was the evidence to the other nations? What was the evidence to the other families that Abraham was righteous? Abundance. He had. That's exactly right. Abundance is better than saying he was rich, because he had an abundance of laborers. He had abundance of back then slaves. He had an abundance of wealth. He had an abundance of cows. And everywhere he turned, he had victory. I mean, he went out after three kings, and who had taken his nephew Lot captive. He went after three kings with just 300 men, and he took them all and all their plunder. Abraham, there was a distinction between Abraham and the rest of the world, to the point that the king was afraid of him and said, "You move away because the hand of God is on you." Guys, the hand of God does not manifest in an invisible feeling. It's nice when it does, but the hand of God, when it comes into your life, affects everything around you, and it produces what Jesus said: a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. The Lord sets for you and me a table before us. Where? In the presence of our enemies. The enemies are not going to be in heaven with you. The enemies are here right now. You don't have to die to get your inheritance. And listen, if you're going to swallow the religious pill and wait till you die for your inheritance, you're going to be sorely disappointed. It's going to be good there, but you could have had it good here. You are blessed to be a blessing. There is a purpose for prosperity. There is a purpose for blessing. There is a purpose so that you can bless others. You cannot give what you do not have. Praise the Lord. You cannot equate wealth with righteousness, but when you talk about righteousness, wealth should be a part of it. Do you understand? Just because somebody has money doesn't mean they're righteous, but if somebody is walking in righteousness, they've received it, then there should be a blessing in their life that you see multiplication, that there's abundance, that there's more than enough. Strength, joy, peace, provision, protection. To the point that people want to come and sleep underneath the your front door, at the stoop of your door, your porch, because you're blessed. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 1, verse 6. This is part, we're going to go through the rewards of the righteous, or the harvest of being righteous. How many of you are the righteousness of God in Christ? Huh? Come on, by faith, how many of you are? How many of you feel righteous? All the time. How many of you act righteous all the time? How many of you sin once in a while? But see, that's not your nature. Your nature is to be righteous. That's why you can't stand it when you sin. That's why your insides are all in turmoil. Thank God, that's proof that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Because if you go out and just sin and thumb your nose to the Lord and then come back on Sunday, you're not aware of the teaching of righteousness and who you've become. I don't have a sin nature anymore. I've got flesh, and it's just as dumb as yours. But I've got a nature on the inside of me that points me always toward good. And I can say no, and I could vote with my stupid flesh, and I could do things that God doesn't want me to do. But internally, inside, who I really am and who you really are, you can't stand it when you do. So we have all kinds of ways in this world to keep from feeling the confliction on the inside from your nature and your sin. I'm helping somebody. Some people, listen, some people use drugs. Some people use alcohol. Some people use sex. Some people use busyness. Some people use work. Come on. Some people even use caring for other people as some kind of to intoxicate themselves so they don't feel the effect of their true nature, which is righteousness. And I know every one of you is squirming. Because we all do it. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And the more we focus on that, then the more our behavior, our conduct, our attitude, the way we talk and the way we think begins to get in line with the righteousness that God desires. Did I read Psalms chapter 1 verse 6? For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Here is one of the harvests that you should continually yield, you should continually pull from heaven, is knowing that the Lord will watch over you. When I was a kid, we had a little picture in my bedroom, and it was of that angel, you know, with a little light and the two kids going across the bridge, and there was a hole in the bridge. And you know, that brought me a lot of peace when I was a kid, because, you know, I'd think there were angels watching out for me. I may not see the thing ahead of me, but there's an angel. God watches out for you. Why? Because you're righteous. Now, before you get all freaky on me, freaky deaky, before you get that way, you got to know that you've been made the righteousness of God of Christ. You're not trying to get there. You already are. If you can receive it by faith, then this is some of the fruit of your righteousness. The harvest of your righteousness. And that can increase, guys. Turn to Psalms chapter 5. Praise the Lord. I'm not preaching to those of you that don't want to hear it. I'm preaching to the ones that do. Surely, Lord, you will bless the righteous. You will surround them with your favor as a shield. Everybody say shield.
Shield.
Now, have you been made the righteousness of God in Christ? Yeah. So God watches over you and He puts, let's put it this way, an invisible barrier around you that acts just like a shield in the middle of an attack of the enemy. It's a barrier. Now, you can increase the harvest of that by your understanding. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You access that by faith, and here's some of the harvest of it. When you walk, the shield walks. When you move, the shield moves. Come on. If you just think this is something to make you feel better, then you're sadly mistaken. You look at the Old Testament saints, they walked in this thing. You know John who wrote, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved? You know who I'm talking about? He wrote the book of Revelations. You know they tried killing him 3 or 4 times. One time they put boiling, was it hot tar, over him. And he lived. So they couldn't kill the guy. Because he was walking in this. And you know what he ended up doing? They ended up putting him out on an island because they couldn't kill him. They tried stoning him. They tried piercing him. They tried putting hot tar on his body, like tar and feather without the feathers. And he lived. Why? Because he was walking in right. There was something different about that boy so much that they feared him and they sent him off to the island of Patmos. Praise the Lord. Turn to Psalms 34. We're talking about the harvest of your righteousness. Psalms chapter 34, and I can talk all day long, but the Scripture will bring light. The entrance of God's Word brings light. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. Verse 16, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cries out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their trouble. Verse 19, the righteous person may have troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects all of his bones. Nora just had a testimony about this. She fell on the ice about a week ago, and they said that she broke her knee. So they put her in this big cast. She ended up taking the thing off, and her knee was bent, and they went back to the doctor today, which is just about 9 days later. About 9 days later. And they said, your knee's not broke. The Lord watches over your bones to be sure they don't break. Come on. He's got a barrier around you. You ever seen those kids, those guys wrestling the big fat sumo blow up things? You know, you run at each other and they bounce and they go off. You got to think God is before you like that. They can come at you, but they're just going to bounce. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they may come at you in one direction, But they'll flee from you in seven. Why? Because they're hitting that invisible barrier. And God is watching over you to protect you. No matter how many times they come at you, no matter how many times you fall, you're going to get right back up. Because the Lord will rescue His servants. No one who takes refuge in Him will be condemned. When did you take refuge in Him? When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. That's a reward, a harvest of your righteousness. All right, let's go to the next one. We're in Psalms chapter 37. Praise the Lord. The wicked will borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those He curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm His steps, the one who delights in Him. Though he stumbles, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with His hand. That is a harvest of being righteous. You may stumble, and so may the guy next to you who's not born again. He's going to go down and break his knee, and your kneecap's not going to be broken. Come on.
Amen.
He may fall down and not get back up this time. But you're going to stumble, but you're not going to fall. Come on. And if you fall because of moral failure, the Lord says you'll get up seven times. And the wicked won't be able to get up. Come on. Go to Psalms chapter 146. Psalms 146. Now listen, the Word, the entrance of God's Word into your spirit brings light. Let's go back to verse 7. Psalms 146, and we'll start at verse 6. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bound down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but He frustrates the way of the wicked. If what you're doing is causing frustration in your life, you're either out of the perfect will of God or you're not walking in the righteousness of God. You're not receiving it. Frustration does not belong to the righteous. Poverty does not belong to the righteous. Sickness and disease does not belong to the righteous. Come on. Doubt and fear does not, about your personal self, about people around you, that doesn't belong to the righteous. See, I don't fear what people say around me because I know that God causes my enemy to be at peace with me. I know that God's favor goes before me because I'm righteous. God's favor goes before me. Listen, I don't care what you think. I know what the Word says. You have to really fight your nature to hate me or to dislike me. You have to. Because God's favor goes before me. And if somebody makes up their mind they're not going to like me, they're fighting God. They're not fighting me. I can offer them reasons for offense. Amen. But whether or not, you know, if they take it, that's up. You got to fight yourself and you got to fight God not to like me. And that's the way you need to perceive yourself. You're very likable because God made you that way. You're very righteous because God made you that way. You're very rich because God made you that way. You read Ephesians chapter 1. It takes a breath of God's Spirit of wisdom and revelation so you can begin to understand the inheritance that is yours. The power that's available to you. And the calling, the higher level that He's called you to live by. And I'm not talking a standard of right and wrong. I'm talking above the rest of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I just sensed in my spirit that somebody was saying to themselves that, yeah, it's all Old Testament, Jack. Well, you're just wrong. You're just wrong. Let the Word of God straighten it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is written to the church, okay? We're just going to read verse 19. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. Now, are you trying to get God to approve of you, or has He already? He has already, because yet while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. And if God didn't withhold His own Son, what else would He withhold from you? If you, a natural father, would give good gifts to your son, then how much more would the Father give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, would bless you, would He's not going to withhold from you, guys. You have God's approval. Now, whether or not you're walking in it, that's up to you by faith. And there is differences even in the body of Christ. Not according to how... Listen, you know there are people that just walk just as pure and as holy, and they'll die, and they never get nothing. They're always fighting sickness and disease. Their checkbook is always empty. Come on. Bless God, they persevered and they made it through. Made it through to what? Well, to heaven. Well, heaven's inside of me. I don't know about you. And heaven's supposed to be manifesting outside of me, all around me. Working its way, eternity, the eternal life of God, working its way through, you know, this flesh pot out of me into the environment around me, into the people around me. Well, that's just crazy. Really? That was what was coming out of Paul, and they took handkerchiefs and aprons from him, and when they touched the sick, they were healed and demons left. That stuff was coming out of Peter to the point that if you just got within the distance of his shadow, you got healed. Well, that was just for the apostles. Really? What about Philip? What about all the mighty men of God that we just had in the last 100 years? Oral Roberts, Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin. There was an anointing that flowed through those guys. Marilyn Hickey. She's still alive, isn't she?
Yeah.
Who's the gal that was up in Mason City? Catherine Kuhlman. Benny Hinn. Now, you know it's not Benny's fancy hairdo that's getting people healed. And you know it's not his little priesty type shirts. It's God in him. And just off the subject for a minute. Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn followed Catherine Kuhlman. And Catherine Kuhlman and Benny Hinn operate in the Spirit in a certain way. They attune themselves to the Spirit of God within them. They tend to, Catherine Kuhlman did, they would develop or provoke the presence of God with praise and worship, sometimes a word, and they would simply follow what the Holy Ghost was doing. They were observers and declarers of what God was doing. Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin were different. Now, Oral Roberts had a healing anointing that come on. He just touched you and bam, you know. And Oral Roberts later switched after the healing revival in the 50s, transitioned into faith in the Word of God. And Brother Hagin taught the spirit of faith. All right, that was just extra. But there's something obviously operating in their lives. Now guys, out of all the people that I just mentioned, how many of you know that Brother Hagin just didn't make it through? There's a 140-acre campus down there in Tulsa that's operating today, sending people all around the world. How many know Oral Roberts just didn't squeak by?
That's right.
There's a huge campus down there that's trained thousands upon thousands of people in every field and industry there is. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Come on. How many know Moses just didn't squeak by? My goodness, he made the poles to carry the ark out of gold. They were laden. What happened to Israel when they were blessed and approved by God? When they came through. What happened when they came through? They were laden with silver and gold. If you don't want your share, just give it to me and I'll make sure somebody gets it that needs it. There has to be a difference among you to tell who has God's approval. Now God approves of you just like He approves of me. The only difference is how I'm going to receive that approval.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by faith. All right. That was good teaching. Let's go to Psalms. Where am I at? What was the last one? 146? Yes, the Lord loves the righteous. To have the love of God shed abroad in your heart and a knowing that God is pleased with you is a harvest of righteousness. That's something you yield to, not something you produce. That's something that can grow in you, not something you have to exercise. Do you understand? It's yielding to the Spirit of God within you that He loves you. Prosperity is the same way for the believer. You yield to it. Sometimes you just got to get out of the way and let God do it. Instead of trying to earn it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, please. Are you guys doing all right?
Yeah.
I don't hate people, but I hate religious spirits, man. If the Lord would let me, I'd rip into the flesh just to see if I could annihilate them. But He won't. Proverbs chapter 3, nothing to do with people now. Verse 33. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the righteous. Mm-hmm. Guys, I want to tell you something. When I was 17 years old, I looked older than what I was. And now that I'm 35, I look younger than what I am. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell on myself now. I used to go up to the bar and I'd drink a beer, 17 years old. And you know what? That wasn't drinking age. And I had enough of the Word of God in me. I remember sitting there several nights, and I drinking that beer, thinking I'm Mr. Big Shot. And there was a restaurant in that particular bar. And I remember families coming in, and there were certain families that every night Mom and Dad sat at that bar and nursed their woes. You know, they drank a little bit, and they were... And then I remember there was people who I knew as church folks, good church folks, had never drank, never, you know, that kind of stuff, that crazy stuff. And they would sit over at the restaurant side. And I remember watching their kids come in. And I remember the ones who we would call wicked, or, you know, who yielded to drunkenness and addictions. Their kids were nasty. I mean, not only did they act nasty, they looked nasty. I mean, they did. They had dirt underneath their fingernails. Their clothes were never pressed, or, you know, and they looked like they didn't. I'm just telling you, there was a difference. They needed to shampoo their hair. Somebody needed to put soap in their mouth. I was 17 years old, watch this. And then I'd look over and I'd see somebody from a church that I knew went to, you know, in the small town, and they went to church, and I'd see the way their kids behaved, and I could see the difference in their clothing. And I remember one time I went outside, and I looked as one of these church families got inside their car, and it was a fairly new model, it had no rust. And then I looked at the cars of the people I was drinking with, and they were rust buckets, and tires were low, and windshields were cracked. There has to be a difference to distinguish the righteous from the unrighteous. And if you'll yield to righteousness, it'll begin to be a harvest in your life that is consistent. Praise the Lord. You know I believe this, don't you? Proverbs chapter 10, would you turn there? I believe with all of my heart that this campus is a manifestation of being righteous. And it is transforming. You know, when we bought this property, that coffee shop wasn't there. There was nobody in the building across the street. The parsonage was an abandoned building and homeless people were living in it. Coons were living in it. The church had beer cans in it and every kind of vermin that there is. And mushrooms growing in it. And there was a fence halfway in the middle of the street. There was a fence all the way around this, and it was grown up. And this is what they call the gateway to the city. You go, 55,000 cars go by here a day. And we got this property, and we had nothing. I mean nothing. And all of a sudden, life pops up over here across the street. He'd been trying to get that thing open for 2 years. And within 2 months, I prayed with him twice, got that thing open. I believe that is. Now, they labored, yes. But there was a barrier. There was something stopping it. Edmonds down here was scheduled to be closed, condemned, and torn down. And the kids were going to get shipped all over the place. Last year, they built a brand new school 2 blocks from us. They changed their mind. Why? Because there's something happening here that is manifesting. It is physical. It is tangible. And it's not the result of some strong personality. It's not the strong of just having a positive attitude. That's not the result. It's a result of faith in righteousness. And it will, from the center of the city, the highest place, it's going to affect the entire city. It's going to transform the entire city. You just think, 55,000 cars going by a dump every day. Kind of shameful looking at how messy it is. Professionals going to the Capitol. Professionals going down to the principal building. Professionals going down, you know, downtown. Schools, teachers, people going in and out of the Capitol of Des Moines, and they're looking at a dump. There's a manifestation. The first thing God told me to do, we didn't do nothing but tear down the fence and put lights up. And when we lit this, there started a manifestation of a Son of God. A manifestation of your righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Proverbs chapter 11. All right, I'm just going to read. The entrance of God's Word brings light. We're talking about the harvest of righteousness. Now listen to verse 30. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And the one who is wise saves lives. Now guys, here's a verse you need to outline. You need to, memorize it, highlight it, tear it out of your Bible, stick it on the refrigerator. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? What is that scripture telling you? That you don't have to die to get your harvest or the rewards of your righteousness. You're going to receive them on this side of heaven. What's the difference between God approving of you and God approving of me? Nothing. If Jesus is your Lord, then there's no difference between His approval of you and His approval of me. Now, there is a difference in how much of that approval I'm going to receive. And that is the essence of righteousness. Of receiving the revelation. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 21. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked will have their fill of trouble. There has to be a distinction. It's not a maybe, you know, I hope God, please. There's supposed to be a distinction between the way this world affects you and the way this world affects me. I'm not under the laws of this world, and neither are you, because of righteousness. Yeah. I was in a place called Chennai in India. And in Chennai, you remember the tsunami that hit over there? All right, listen to this. This is true. This is factual. Look it up on the internet. I've been there. Doubting Thomas. Thomas was what we'd call an engineer architect, okay? And Thomas left after Jesus was resurrected. The Holy Ghost came down. He's the one that went to India. So he came across and he was hired by the prince of what was the Hindu nations at that time. And right there in Chennai, he was given a bunch of money to design a palace for this greater Hindu nations prince or king. Make a long story really short, he gave the money to the poor. He got pulled, and he started six churches. He got pulled into the prince's throne room, and he threw him in the jail because he said, I built you a palace, I just built it in the kingdom of God. And so Thomas, the one who touched Jesus, ended up in a prison. The prince's daughter died. This is factual in history over in Chennai. She died, and he said, what are we going to do? Well, what can I do? He was moaning, he was weeping, he was crying. And he said, is there any wise men, any Brahmin that can heal a Hindu priest? That can heal my daughter, that can raise my daughter from the dead? He said, well, the guy in prison can. And he called him out, and he raised the girl from the dead. So the guy gave him more money and funded his ministry the rest of his life. He was eventually killed by a Brahmin priest. I've been to the place where he was killed. But he built six churches, guys. All six churches were up on a hill. In Chennai. When the tsunami hit, everybody in the villages, their boats were wiped out. More than half of them died. But all of the church, the Christians, were up on the hill. Six different places. Not just one, six churches that Thomas built were up on a hill. And it's a huge testimony in that area of how the righteous survived calamity. They were up there worshiping God, and the tsunami hit and sucked the wicked away. This happened in your lifetime, in this decade. There has to be a distinction. It's not that God is punishing the unrighteous. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But you've got an invisible barrier, a protection between you and the devil, and it's the very nature of God. And it's given to you because of righteousness. And you've got to hold that shield up. You've got to receive that righteousness. You've got to carry yourself like you are a son of God. Praise the Lord. All right, let me just give you some scriptures. Proverbs 12, 21. Proverbs 13, 21. Proverbs 24, 16. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. You guys look these up. Let's read verse 15 and verse 20 in chapter 24. Do not lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous. Do not plunder their dwelling. Anybody know we got a security system over here? I didn't do that necessarily to protect us. I did it for the fiduciary responsibilities we have as a ministry, okay? We haven't had security on any of the campus active. Why? Because we've already got security. And this is it. God says, don't lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous. Why? It's a dangerous place to be. Don't plunder their dwelling. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. Proverbs chapter 28. Oh yeah. The wicked flee though no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. The Bible says that we're to go boldly into the throne room of God, right? How can you do that? By understanding that you are righteous. By understanding that you are righteous, by receiving the revelation that you are righteous, you become bold as a lion. Not meek in the sense of, I'm nothing, I'm no good, but you carry yourself as a lion. You may be puppy dog size, but carry yourself like you're a lion. Even the world. Listen, I was in Zimbabwe, and I met a guy in ministry, and he ran for president of Zimbabwe probably 4 years ago, and then I think maybe 8 years ago. Two times he's run already. But his name's Daniel Shumba. And Daniel had us over to his house, and we were talking over dinner when we were ministering there. And he told us that people don't understand Christianity in Zimbabwe. It used to be Zaire. And a lot of the people that are in politics get into witchcraft. And they practice it. He said in business negotiations or in politics, what they do is they take the fat of a lion, lard, the fat of a lion, and they rub it on their face before negotiations. They, you know, like we use Vaseline. Like we use lotion. They rub it on their face and get that shine. And they have a belief that the fat of a lion will cause them to be bold, and it will intimidate the person that they're trying to negotiate with. It'll intimidate the politicians that they're negotiating with. And these are people that are serving in the top places in military, serving in the cabinet that's set up there, serving in maybe even the highest position in that land, because he used to work with Mugabe. They literally rub the fat of lion. You ever seen Mugabe? His face is always shiny. Crazy. He's crazy. He's crazy as a loon. But if people have that kind of faith in the natural of just the fat of a lion. Because a lion carries himself differently than a hyena. When, have you ever seen National Geographic when hyenas are eating the flesh off a carcass? And a lion will come in and they just scatter. The lion, he doesn't break stride. He just walks up as if he owns X, whether he killed it or not. And he takes what he wants. And you watch the hyenas come back around. And they'll come up and they'll grab a little bite and then run. And they'll grab a little bite and then run. Why? Because they're not confident. They have no boldness. They're intimidated. They have fear. They don't know their strength. Hyenas are incredibly strong. Their jaws are incredibly strong. They don't know their strength. A hyena can take down a wild ox, which is bigger than a lion, but they just don't know. When a lion comes in, it almost has the appearance of being arrogant. Remember, arrogance is when you think you're something you're not. When you're bold, you know who you are. And you don't have to know who you are just by the word. You know who you are in your inner man. We're talking about this and you're going, yep, 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 on the inside. And your head's going, no, but, you know, I got to walk out those doors. I feel pumped up right now. Yeah, I can tackle the world right now. And the inside saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. But your head, as soon as you get out those doors, you've got, now it's real life. No, this is real life. I'm going to yield to the truth of the word and yield to the... See, I've got a testifying spirit, a spirit on the inside of my spirit that confirms this is right. I am and you are royalty. Jesus is the King of Kings. You're a king. At least act like a prince. But princes are underage, and if you have the understanding of your righteousness, come on. Now you come out of the guardianship as a prince would with people who would lord it over them, and they become the authority. What causes that in your life? Maturation, being mature in the body of Christ. How do I become mature? I yield to the doctrine and the concept and the revelation of righteousness. Isaiah chapter 26. Let's hurry up and we'll get you out of here. Praise the Lord. Are you guys learning anything? Man, I wish somebody would have taken me by the hand and taught me about grace and taught me about righteousness when I was a kid. I was so mad at preachers when I went to Bible school. I was like, why didn't anybody ever tell me this? The reason that I know why I went back and forth in the kingdom of God, why I wavered, why I tested the world and came running back and I'd fall. You know why? Because I didn't understand God's grace. I didn't understand that righteousness was something I was born into. I thought it was something I had to become, something I had to live up to. No, I'm to live out of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, did I tell you what verse? I believe it's verse 6. Feet trample it down on the feet of the oppressed and the foot of the poor, but the path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Now, there are rocks in the paths of everybody. There are bumps that everybody in life goes through. We just hit one major bump that the world called a recession. They called it popping the bubble, bursting the bubble, an economic bubble. You know what? The righteous increase during that time. Guys, before the bubble popped, we didn't have this campus. When the bubble popped, God made it so we could get this building and that building and that building and that land across there. And He's not done yet. Now, we've got to grow and begin to be diligent with what He's given us. We don't want to get more on our plate unless He leads. But I don't think He's going to, because it'd be contrary to His word. When we start taking care of this, He's going to increase and give us more. But when the recession came, all the guys hit a bump in the road, and big businesses lost a lot of money, and real estate guys went under, and construction guys went under. But the righteous increased. Same road, same bump. What was the difference? Righteousness. Righteousness. When everybody else is... I heard somebody tell me this. They've been in the real estate business 35 years. And they said, when the bubble burst, they said this was the first time in history that owning property was not considered an asset. It was considered a liability. Guys, when the children of Israel left the day after the death angel came through, their gold and their silver and their fine clothes looked like a liability to them. And they gave them to Israel. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I'm living this thing. It's not for me. You know, I was driving a rusty van until Pastor Josh gave me his truck. Now, God doesn't mind me having a nice truck. God doesn't mind me having a nice 4x4 and a nice new shiny 2014 Harley Road Classic King. He doesn't mind me having those things as long as they don't have me. And they're always a tool that's available for Him. And if He says liquidate it, then I liquidate it and I do whatever He tells me. It's not about how much you got. It's about how much He can get through you. Malachi chapter 3. Let's go there one more time, please. Malachi chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Does anybody know what Malachi is in order of the books in the Bible? It's the last book in the Old Testament. Am I right? It's verse 17. On that day when I act, when did God act? When Jesus was on the cross. On that day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, when He raised Him from the dead, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion on his own son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. There'll be a distinction. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Guys, I'm believing the Word's doing the work. There's a harvest to righteousness. We've gone over several scriptures tonight. Verse 22 in Romans chapter 3 says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So you might think that scripture in Malachi was talking about Israel alone. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Now, one last scripture and we will quit. Where did I tell you to go before? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. Let's read that one more time. Now that we have understanding, now we have the Word to bring understanding. Praise the Lord. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. What is righteousness? Here's God's approval. There's going to be a distinction. And as the world gets darker, and it will, and it is, we're going to appear more light. We have to produce more light. When people are out there hungry, we've got to be able to feed them. I don't know about you guys, but you know, you have this measure of faith too. God should be blessing your household. I'm telling you, God is blessing this house. I just got the utility bill for last month for this building and that building and that building. Phew-wee! If I would have got that 10 years ago, I probably would have fell over. They would have had to take me to the hospital. But it's just a tool. There has to be a difference. We've been dealing with guys on the state level, guys at the federal level, guys in Washington, D.C., and I'm about ready to tell them all go jump in a lake and just believe God. I'm telling you. But I sent them a copy of how much we put into these. I'm not talking about the purchase, just the restoration. And the one guy who owns it, I mean, he owns a major construction company. He said, that is impressive. I just can't believe that. I said, well, straight off the computer. God's doing phenomenal things. Now, you guys, if you'll get a hold of who you are in Christ, He's going to do phenomenal things in your personal life. One of the scriptures that we skipped over says that the righteous will have a blessing on them and their household. And not just this house of God, it's your household. And if you have any kind of dominion, any kind of authority, any kind of leadership in your house, then the blessing should be on your children and your wife and your husband. Come on.
That's right.
They're going to get in by the skinny of their teeth because of your righteousness. And you've got to walk in that. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of righteousness. We thank You, Lord, that we can grow in our understanding. We can grow in the revelation. And Father, I thank You for the word tonight that said over and over again, this is the harvest of righteousness. This is what's in the righteous life. This is the way God puts His stamp of approval. This is the way God makes a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. And we are not righteous because of what we do. We're righteous because of what Jesus did. We receive that by faith. Put your hand on your heart with me tonight. Let's pray for a revelation of righteousness in our personal life. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, breathe in my spirit. Increase the revelation. Bring light and understanding. Help me to receive and accept by Your faith who You've made me. I am righteous. I'm holy because of what Your Son did. Jesus is my Lord. I am Your righteousness. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Cause there to be everything we read about tonight to manifest in my life as I grow in the understanding of my righteousness. I don't understand it all, but I thank You for it. Thank You, Jesus. That You just thank Him out of Your own lips. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for empowering Your people, equipping Your people. Straightening out things that are crooked, making things that have been dark, bringing light to them, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your perfecting gift. Thank You, Father, for the Spirit that brings life, liberty, and abundance, protection, healing. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the anointing that abides in us and increases. Let it be seen on us and around us. That people be drawn into the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Rise and shine. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And nations will come to the light. And yes, they will bring wealth and give it to you because of the light and the revelation that you're receiving regarding righteousness. Jerk the slack out of the religious. Straighten the crooked things in the church. Preach righteousness like Noah. Declare righteousness like Abraham. Speak and walk and act in righteousness like Paul did. You are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of heaven. You are the righteousness of the Lamb. Quickened and made alive by my very spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I receive that. I receive that. Now thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
as a lion. The strength of the Lord. Joy, peace, and abundance and health in yours. By faith in what Jesus did.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.